Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Looking for love.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Yahoo needs a partner to help fight off that hostile takeover from Microsoft. This morning, the Wall Street Journal reports Yahoo's dancing with Rupert Murdoch. There have been discussions on a deal to give Murdoch's News Corp a 20% stake in Yahoo. Let's bring in Marketplace's Lisa Napoli, who keeps an eye on all things internet. Lisa, even the Journal, Murdoch's own newspaper, calls this a long shot. Why is that?
Well, because you think about this. Would you turn down $44 billion for a stake in MySpace? Seems like a better deal to take $44 billion or something in that neighborhood.
What are the bloggers saying about this?
Everybody seems to think that Yahoo is just bucking for more money from Microsoft and doing it in this very public and dramatic way. But nobody really seems to think it can actually go through. So the bloggers are just basically saying that Steve Ballmer of Microsoft and Jerry Yang of Yahoo should just sit down to dinner, get rid of all the advisors, and just get on with it.
Consider the Murdoch deal for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that tie-up make sense in any way?
It makes sense if you believe that you're going to be able to sell all the ads on MySpace. But it doesn't help Yahoo strengthen what it needs to strengthen, which is its search business. The other problem is that MySpace is a little bit old news. Facebook, which, by the way, Microsoft owns a piece of, is kicking MySpace's butt.
Why is Yahoo objecting so strongly about Microsoft taking the company over?
Well, Dr. Jerry Yang, the co-founder of Yahoo, doesn't want to give up his baby. He wants independence. He really doesn't want to have to sell out to anybody. Doing a deal is one thing. But acknowledging that Yahoo isn't the dominant player it once was years ago is a tough bet.
Marketplace's Lisa Napoli, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The stock market rallied yesterday after a surprisingly strong report on retail sales. We had the Dow jumping 178 to 12,552. The S&P added 18. The NASDAQ, with all those tech stocks, soared nearly 54 points. Asian markets took their cue from Wall Street overnight. Japan's Nikkei was up more than 4%. The market in Hong Kong higher by more than 3%. European stocks have edged higher. China has suffered its first defeat at the World Trade Organization. We have more from Stephen Beard.
The dispute with China is over auto parts like batteries, brakes, and spark plugs. China's been charging higher tariffs on imports of these goods from the US, Canada, and the EU. In effect, the Chinese have favored car component makers based in their own country. In an interim ruling, the World Trade Organization condemned this as protectionist. Gareth Leather of the Economist Intelligence Unit says this decision could be a breakthrough for Western car makers.
China's now the second largest car market in the world after the US. And so obviously car makers from around the world are trying to enter this market. And this ruling, depending on what happens, should allow them kind of easier access to China.
But WTO disputes tend to rumble on for years. China's thought likely to appeal the ruling. It still could be some time before the Chinese are forced to open up their car market to global competition. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You may recall that $2,500 car unveiled in Delhi a few weeks back. The Nano is being made for emerging markets by India's Tata Motors. Well, today Tata's parent announced a deal with Boeing for defense-related aerospace parts. Tata Group will build them in India through a joint venture worth $500 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the American Public Transportation Association, working to help reduce greenhouse gases with 10 billion transit trips per year. At publictransportation.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More ThriveQ.com.
Get set, you lovebirds. To mark Valentine's Day this year, you'll shell out more than $17 billion on cards, flowers, and, of course, the chocolate. More than half the chocolate, or rather the cocoa used to make that chocolate, comes from West Africa.
It's a region where child labor, even child trafficking and slavery, is well documented. Today, activists are sending bouquets to the CEOs of major chocolate companies with a call for more transparency in cocoa supply chains. But as Gretchen Wilson reports, the industry says it's following its own process to improve conditions.
Activists say child labor in the Ivory Coast and Ghana gives most chocolate on the shelves a bitter taste. Tim Newman is with the International Labor Rights Forum. He says these kids are doing dangerous work.
Which means that they're handling machetes to cut cocoa pods from trees and to cut those pods open. They're also involved with handling pesticides that are used in production.
Most West African cocoa goes to multinational firms such as Nestle, Mars, and Hershey's. Susan Smith is with the National Confectioners Association, a trade group for cocoa processors and chocolate makers.
Most cocoa farmers grow cocoa responsibly, but there are issues.
Smith says the industry supports programs that teach farmers about safe and fair labor practices. She also says it's important to understand the local cultural context.
These are farm families, and children traditionally help their families.
U.S. lawmakers aren't satisfied. They've set a July deadline for the chocolate industry to make sure half the cocoa-producing areas in the Ivory Coast and Ghana are free of child labor. Right now, the industry is working with local governments to survey farm conditions. But Smith says monitoring the entire supply chain of cocoa beans isn't realistic.
At this point, it is not possible across 2 million small cocoa farmers.
But a few individual companies, such as Cargill and Kraft, have agreed to additional certification programs that reach the farm level. Some boutique chocolate makers do track their cocoa supply. La Siembra Cooperative can trace the cocoa in this Coco Camino chocolate bar to individual farms in the Dominican Republic and Peru. Kevin Thompson is former executive director.
Supply chain is business 101.
Sales of the company's certified fair trade products have climbed more than 50% year on year.
We attribute that to consumers and their awareness of fair trade issues and actually voting with their dollar at the till and advocating for change.
He says knowing it's child labor free makes it all the sweeter. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.